Tape recorded message number TL-467. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 24. We continue our study in the life and the times of King Saul, but especially now of God's anointed King David. We read here to begin with that it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel. These would be the best soldiers they were needed. Out of these were the best trackers of men, men best suited for single-handed combat. And out of these he took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, the very elect men out of all Israel. And he went to seek David and his men, because David had followers who would protect him. And he went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats, designated as a place where the wild goats could live and skip from rock to rock. That is where they were looking for David. Now he came to the sheepcotes by the way. This would be a place where men would pasture their sheep and shelter their sheep. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. Now this was not just a small depression in the earth or anything like that, a small hollowed out place in the side of the earth. This was a cave, probably of great size. There were numerous limestone caves in this country. So there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. Now this was a euphemism. Strictly speaking, when we read it, just say Saul went in to stoop. And of course, when a man does this, his robe would fall down, according to garments they wore, to cover his feet. And David and his men, they remained in the sides of the cave. Now the cave was dark. There might be light coming from the mouth of it, but they remained in the sides of the cave, and this could mean in little smaller caves that were off on the side. The main cave and then the caves that led off on the side, a great characteristic of all great caves. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee." Now, the Lord never said anything like this. These men are making up a promise that they say God gave to David, but this was a promise that was never given, and it was simply something that was invented by man. We see so much of this today that it's almost unbelievable. But people actually make up scripture verses and say, "Why, the Lord said this, and the Lord said that." And oftentimes these bring great comfort to the people, and they bring great satisfaction to people, but they are not the Word of God at all. And even sometimes when they are the Word of God, it is not a portion of the Word that could be applied to any man at any time under any condition. This should never be done. And so these men of David, we might say in the slang of the day, kind of trying to butter him up and encourage him, they say, "Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee." This is the day of which the Lord spoke unto thee, but there's no place that we know that the Lord has spoken of this at all. "Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemed good unto thee." So David arose, and all he did was just to take a small bit of Saul's robe and cut off a part of it, and he did it secretly. He could approach it in the dark, and the robe that would trail behind, he could cut off a small portion of it, especially if Saul was at rest. Now, in the fifth verse, we read, "It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him." Now, it was David's own heart that smote him. He didn't feel right about doing this, and this was all because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. The Lord's anointed. For he had been anointed to be king of Israel, and while God had set him aside, it was not up to David to take this into his own hand of doing anything to him. But he calls him the Lord's anointed to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Now the anointed of the Lord just simply meant the designated one, the one who was to rule Israel. And at the present time, Saul has the rule, and it's up to God to take care of this and put his anointed in his place. So all David is doing is, more or less pestering Saul by cutting off his robe. So David stated his servants with these words, and he would not suffer them, which means he would not permit them to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterwards, and went out of the cave, and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth, and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen that the Lord hath delivered me today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is Jehovah's anointed. This is the word Jehovah here, Yahweh. He is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, See the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe, and kill thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, for I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. Thy soul or my soul is just it's a sort of a pronoun. It is a noun used as a pronoun. And my soul means me. It means myself. You hunt me to take it, which would mean, really, to put it to death. For to take the soul means to put the man to death. Now in verse 12 it says, The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. Let the Lord do the judging, make the determinations, and let the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, Wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. Whatever wicked men might do to thee, I will not do it. And here he quotes a proverb of the ancients, which is all right to do. This does not mean that this is the word of God, but we just mean that it's given to us by inspiration that this proverb was quoted. Now the 14th verse, After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? You see, really, faced up with all the armies of Israel, David would be no more than a flea, something to be hit with the hand and put out of existence. But really, against the armies of Saul, he was no more than this. Like a dog, a cur that was already dead, these are the terms he used himself. He says in the 15th verse, The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. Now it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice, and he wept. And he said to David, You are more righteous than I. But thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. He takes all of this in, he gives it consideration, he thinks it through. It caused him to weep, a sorrow for his guilt, and he says, You rewarded me good, I rewarded you evil. And verse 18, Thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, For as much as when the Lord, that is Jehovah, had delivered me into thine hand, you did not kill me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for thou hast done unto me this day. Now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king. He knew this, that the time would come when he would be king. David has just been designated by the Lord to be king. He's more or less at the hand of God. He is the king elect. Someday he will be crowned king. And so he says, wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know that thou wilt surely be king, that the kingdom of Israel, that's the government of Israel, kingdom means government, that the government of Israel shall be established in your hand, that the very control, the rule, the government of Israel would be placed in the hands of David. So David would be the one who enforced the laws of God, who made laws in regard to Israel, who interpreted these laws, that he would be the king in Israel and the government would be in his hands. Verse 21, swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me. It's customary in those days when a man became ruler that he would cut off the one who had ruled, all of his descendants after him, so that no one could ever rise up to challenge the throne. He said, you swear to me this day that thou shalt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul. And Saul went home. David and his men got them unto the hold, a place of self-keeping for them, to be out here against others who might surely take their life. Now in verse 25, we come to the sad note that Samuel died. This wonderful man, this excellent man, this prophet of God, this priest of God, who had actually governed Israel, not as king, but as God's prophet and priest. Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together, and they lamented him, and they buried him in the house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep, that'd be an enormous herd, and 1,000 goats, I should have said a flock, but 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. I like to pronounce this as a Hebrew word and say Carmel, although we usually say Carmel. But it is the L letter, and you have two words. And of course, the L stands for Jehovah, stands for God. So it was Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal. His very name means fool or folly. The name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding, a rare jewel indeed, a woman of good understanding, a woman of beautiful countenance, more or less a beautiful personality. She's just a beautiful person. But the man was churlish. Churlish means he was hard, and he was mean, and he was evil in the house of doings, and he was the house of Caleb. You'll remember Caleb in the days of Joshua, his companion in that day. Now, this man, Nabal, was of the house of Caleb. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. David sent out 10 young men. David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. You use my name in greeting him. So they were going to go to Nabal in David's name, under David's authority. And thus shalt thou say to him that liveth in prosperity. Now the words in prosperity here are supplied, and probably that they are rightfully supplied, just that he liveth and he liveth well. Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that you have. Now I have heard that thou hast sheared. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, we never touched them. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. When you were taking care of the sheep, your shepherds were never touched by us. No lamb or sheep was ever missing Nothing was missing. All the while they were in Carmel. Now ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we are come in a good day, the day of the sheep shearing, when there would be much feasting. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh thine hand unto thy servants and thy son David. It was a righteous request. It was not a beggar's request. They had done much, and they were in need of food. So when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David. That's the words that they gave, the only words they had a right to speak in his name. And then they ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is this son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. There's a lot of these runaway slaves, he says, have broken their master. Now they're living off the country. And he just performs a summary judgment, makes a determination concerning these, and says that's what they are. And he didn't ask anyone that could have told him, because maybe he would have felt obligated to give to them if he'd actually known the truth of the matter. But he continues and says, Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears, and give it unto these men whom I know not whence they be? He could have checked up, and by their works he would have known them, but simply refused to do it. So David's young men turned their way and went again, and came and told him all of those things. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. They girded on every man his sword. David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men. 200 abode by the stuff. The stuff would be all their possessions, whatever they own. Everything that they needed to live, their tents and so on. 200 guarded the goods and 400 went up. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them that come in his name, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them. To be conversant was be close enough to be on speaking terms. And we did talk to one another, and did what we could to help one another when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day. All the while we were with them keeping the sheep. They kept our enemies away. They acted as a wall. They took nothing. We lost nothing. This is what they had done. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master, and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. It's just impossible to even talk to him. Then we're told Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of little corn, 100 clusters of raisins, that is the dried grapes, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. The donkeys that they used as beasts of burdens, she laid them upon these asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. Behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, for he hath requited me evil for good. Now we come to a word that was written to us, a verse that was written to us in Old English, when words that were in common use today would maybe sound well somewhat vulgar, but you're face to face with it. And the way that I would read this is, so and more also do God and the enemies of David If I leave of all that pertain to him, that is, the enemies of David, by the morning light, any that voids against the wall. We use a different euphemistic term, which would give no offense. Be careful about words. So he just simply says, any that voids against the wall. This would mean a male, if any male should be left. Now, Abigail saw David. She hasted, and she lighted off the ass, and mounted, fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, fell at his feet, and said, "Unto me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, Erubal is his name, and folly is with him, for Nabal means folly. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of the Lord whom thou didst send. I saw none of them. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, avenging thyself in thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing, this present which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all these days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and all the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling. It shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, for that's what he was destined to be, the ruler over Israel. There said that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causes, or that my Lord hath avenged himself, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then you remember your handmaid." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord of God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet thee. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with mine hand. For in every deed as the Lord God liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou had hasted and come to me, surely there had not been left one unto Nabal by the morning light, any that voids against the wall," which was their term for a male, a graphic term, but their term for a male. So David received of her hand that which she brought him, and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, I have accepted thy person." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was drunken. He was an alcoholic anyway, always drunk on wine, and she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him. It just quit pumping the blood. They say sooner or later everyone dies of heart failure. Well, that's a bit of humor in that, but this is why he died. His heart died within him. He became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. Now when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach in the hand of Nabal. He kept his servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. David sent and commanded to commune with Abigail, take her to him to wife. Now, the word wife among the Hebrews does not mean what a wife, what the word wife means to us today. We'll not deal with that at the present moment. But if we take our present customs and thoughts and mores and try to read them back in the Old Testament, well, it just never will express its message. We will have the hardest possible time in understanding it. You know, in the days when every bit of cloth had to come from the sheep, or from cotton, or it could be silk, but when this cloth came, it had to be woven. The substance of the cloth, whether it would be silk or cotton or wool, it had to be carded, it had to be woven, it had to be spun. All of these things took a vast amount of work. Then, of course, it had to be done that it had to be made into clothes, which would require the art of a seamstress. But not only that, that the women had to prepare the food, even to the going the length of killing it, preparing the food, building the fire, 101 other things, for a man to try to get along with just one woman was a physical impossibility in that day. Now, there would always be the one who did fill the place of a wife, like we have with Isaac and Rebecca, like we have with Abram and Sarah. We see this. So let's not take the word wife and give it all the meaning, give it all the effect of law and relationship that it has with us today. So when the verse 40, when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. You say that's a very peculiar courtship. It most certainly is. But nothing in that day is like it is today. And here it is. The representatives of David, speaking in his behalf, came, said, we want to take thee to him to wife. Well, she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, symbol of submission, and said, behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord. Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. She would need these. And she took these damsels with her. And she went after the messengers of David, and she became his wife. In the 43rd verse, we read, David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel. They were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Now, this brings us to the close of the 25th chapter. It is a rather long chapter. It tells us much about the life and the times of David, much about the customs in Israel, the accepted customs of Israel at that time. From it, indeed, we learn much. So we go on now to the 26th chapter. The Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? And Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was come in very deed. It was a fact he had come. He was looking for David. David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And Saul and David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench. And the people pitched round about him. This trench is what we would more or less call a valley. And Saul was there, and the people were round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let us smite him, I pray thee, with the spear. Take that spear that he has there by his bolster, his pillow, and smite him even to the earth at once. And I will not smite him the second time. Do it in such a way that you will administer the fatal blow, the coup d'etat, so that I will not even need to touch him. David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Well, no one can stretch his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. And many people try to make out like that they are the anointed of the Lord, but they always just connect this with some work that they're doing and making a claim that is not theirs. So this man was the anointed of the Lord, and nobody could smite him and be guiltless. David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, the cruse of water, that is, the flask of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away. And no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Well, they were more or less for a short time just hibernating. A deep sleep from the Lord fallen upon them. Remember that. Sometime if you have trouble wondering how Noah took care of all the animals in the ark, isn't it possible that these animals hibernated? Couldn't God do that? If he could make a deep sleep fall upon all of the soldiers of Saul, couldn't he make a deep sleep fall upon the animals? Isn't this what happens to most of the bears in the wintertime? Isn't this what happens to many living things, that they go into hibernation when the weather gets cold? Ah, you don't find these things impossible, like the flood, Noah taking care of the animals, as long as you put God in the ark and he was in there. So, deep sleep from the Lord and Jehovah had fallen upon them. And David went over to the other side, stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not Abner? And Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you are worthy to die, because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. Now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice, and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. You know, in the divine religion that God gave to Israel, the only people that God ever gave any religion to, we who practice religionless Christianity, we know quite well that God never gave anyone a religion of Israel. Most people want us to take some of Israel's religion, like setting aside a day and keeping that day holy, or such things as this and that. If you want to keep a day, that is perfectly all right. But don't try to make out like that you're keeping some commandment that God gave to Israel. I like to have a Sunday in my life. A Sunday when I don't do anything else much but serve the Lord. I hardly remember a Sunday except those when I have been on vacation that I have not stood before a group and taught the Word of God. I like a Sunday in my life. I like this day. I want it to be different, but it's not a part of my religion. It's not a part of it at all. But the only place you could really keep the religion of Israel was to be somewhere near the altar of God. But they drove him out in the Lord's portion. They said, go serve other gods. Now, he says, now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and I have erred exceedingly. David answered and said, behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. I just took it as a symbol. I did not steal it. Just let one of your young men come over and fetch it. Then he says, the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, your life, your soul, was much set by this day in mine eyes. So let my soul be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. Let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son of David, that thou shalt both do great things, and thou shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. But David knows quite well that this is not the end of it. He knows quite well that Saul is not a man who keeps his word. Saul is a man given to great promises and great bluster and using great words of praise that might trap a man's soul, but David pays little attention to this, and he still knows that he is in great danger from the man Saul. Well, that brings us to the end of the 26th chapter, and we learn a little more about customs, history in Israel, how men lived, what they did, how they felt about things, and so on. And we will continue in this in our next study when we take up the study of the 27th chapter. It has been my privilege to teach you, and I have enjoyed doing so. And we'll meet again around the pages of God's book. And until such time, I bid you goodbye, and praying that your lines may fall in pleasant places. As we are told in Psalm 16:6, mine have fallen in pleasant places even this day. I trust that yours also are falling in pleasant places, as the psalmist records. I bid you goodbye.